You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and with Helen Scales. We'll return to our theme of catching criminals in just a moment, including looking at a new way to fingerprint surfaces that previously were considered unfingerprintable. But first, let's take a look at what's been making science headlines this week. I'm going to kick off with this one. They say that manners maketh man, but it looks like microbes maketh man, and any old bacterium won't do. To be healthy, an animal requires a unique consortium of microbes in its intestines, and this is according to scientists in the US this week. Now, you've probably heard of the hygiene hypothesis, this idea that if we live in an environment which is too sterile or too clean, then your immune system doesn't get exposed to the right doses of microorganisms, so you're more likely to develop allergies or autoimmunity. Now, this is partly based on observations that if you look in other animal species, and there's in fact a kind of squid, probably familiar to you, Helen, which if it doesn't team up with a relative of the cholera bacterium called Vibrio fischeri, then it doesn't have a light-emitting organ. It doesn't develop a tissue on its body that gives out light. Similarly, tsetse flies absolutely have to team up with a bacterium called Rigelswerthia glossindia, which gives them vitamins, because if they don't make that association, they're infertile. So microbes can make a difference to the health of an organism. What about humans? And will any old muck do? Or do you need certain kinds of bacteria like these two other species I've named? Well, there's a group at Harvard in the States. They've published in the journal Cell this week their attempt to answer this question. This is Dennis Casper and his colleagues. What they've done is to take mice which have been born into a germ-free environment. In other words, you give a mouse a cesarean section and you get the babies and they're sterile via that route. You then infect one group of the baby mice with normal bacteria from normal mice, from their intestines. A second group, you do the equivalent using human intestinal bacteria. The third group, you leave in that sterile environment in order to see how they perform as controls. What they found is that the mice given the mouse bacteria performed exactly as you would expect. They were perfectly healthy. The mice that got the human bacteria developed a flourishing, thriving community of microorganisms in their guts, but which very closely resembled what you would find in a human anyway. The thing was, though, that when they then looked at the immune systems of these mice, which were riddled with bacteria, they weren't right. And it turned out that they had far fewer lymphocytes. These are white blood cells that fight and regulate your immune response in the wall of their intestine, in their intestinal lining. They had far fewer lymphocytes in the lymph nodes, the glands that present things to the immune system to regulate it. They had far fewer cells called dendritic cells that actually present things to the immune system to inspect. They made far fewer antibodies in their intestines, and they had far fewer of these defence proteins that they secrete across the wall of the intestine to keep microbes at bay. And when the researchers challenged their mice with a dose of salmonella, the mice that had the normal mouse bacteria fought it off without too much problem. The ones that had the human bacteria succumbed to infection and were quite sick, and they were as sick, in fact, as the ones that were reared in a sterile environment. So the point they make in their paper is that actually it's not just having microbes and dirt. It appears to be having a very unique cross-section of microbes that you acquire probably from your parents when you're born. They are absolutely essential to develop a healthy immune response, not just any old bug.
I mean, presumably we could think about whether cesarean sections in humans means that babies sidestep this dose of bugs that could be potentially very important because they're not born in the normal way. Is there any evidence for that?
There is, actually. People have done a number of epidemiological studies. So this is known to be an association. It's not causal. We don't know. We can't prove it. But we can say there is an association between being born via cesarean section and having a higher risk of allergy later in life and a higher risk of diarrheal illnesses. And people have shown that babies that are born by cesarean acquire a different fingerprint of bacteria when they're first born. They pick up sort of hospital bugs and staphs and streps and clostridia and things, compared with babies that emerge via the normal route get, as some researchers delicately put it, a mouthful of muck. And that mouthful of muck is their mum's muck, which is ideally suited actually to them because they're genetically very similar to their mum and they're going to exist in almost the same environment as their mother.
So muck can be good.